flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go again. The Chiefs and Bills in January.
1:47 to go in the game on 4th-and-9 for Buffalo. Placement down. Bass's kick is up, and the kick is no good!
The 90s belong to Buffalo with playoff wins in 92 and 94. The last 5 years, revenge. And revenge is a dish best served in the cold.
All right, goal to go at the 4-yard line for the Chiefs, trailing 24-20. Pacheco, running back. Chiefs will use the shotgun. Motioning left is Hardman. They give it off to Pacheco. Slamming on the left side, angling into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Pop gargles the sweet nectar of the end zone. And the Chiefs are back in front, 26-24. And now they're going to run a fake. The Buffalo Bills run a fake on the left side, and the Chiefs knock him down. They hold the fort. Buffalo tries a fake on 4th-and-5, and the Chiefs defend it perfectly. It looks like it was Cole Christensen out of West Point, Captain America.
For the Bills, it's overcoming the demons of GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium and returning to the biggest game in sports for the first time in 30 years.
Three wide to the right, one wide to the left. Mahomes over the middle. Cut Tyreek Hill at the 45. Angling right 40. 35. Jeter. 25. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown! Kansas City. A 64-yard touchdown. Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. These are 2x2, but they got now Hartman in motion. Right to left. Sets up a triangle to the left side. Mahomes looks that way. He's going to go wide open. Left side caught. Kelce corner out. Touchdown, Kansas City. Kelce hasn't been that open since training camp in St. Joseph. And he slings the ball up into the stands, much to the chagrin of the Bills Mafia.
For the Chiefs, it's simple. Protect the kingdom. Keep history alive and try to become the first ever NFL team to make it to the Super Bowl to try for a three-peat.
Make no mistake about it, gentlemen. We are in the business of protecting this town.
Second and fourth, the Kansas City 45-yard line. Chiefs by 16. Allen being rushed. He's gobbled up. He went swimming, and the shark got him. Josh Allen never saw the shark blowing in. From his right shoulder, he obliterated right tackle Darrell Williams. 36-36 tie in overtime. Chiefs first down and goal to go. Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking right side. He wants it. A comeback cut. It is caught by Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City. One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce on a push fade comeback. And the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
The NFL's biggest rivals, Chiefs, Bills, Mahomes, Allen, Buffalo, Kansas City. Two cities, one dream, one Lamar Hunt trophy. Chiefs, Bills, for the AFC Championship, Sunday at 5:30, right here on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
But you will remember me.
Well done, Mac.
Yeah. Getting a nice gift card from our guy Maloney for that one.
Yeah, look at that.
Tell you something about Maloney, Mac. You know, that guy, he used to chug beers back in the day.
Speaking of beers and Maloney's and Binkley, it all rolls into one. Happy National Beer Can Day to Jay Binkley. Today's National Beer Can Day.
What is it? Just beer in a can?
I don't know. Okay. I just thought of Binkley immediately as I saw Happy National Beer Can Day, so I wanted to wish Jay Binkley a happy whatever day today is for him.
He told me his meal on Sunday is buffalo wings, and he's going to hate eat them.
The hell does that?
He goes,
impossible.
Have you ever seen Four Christmases?
Yeah.
You know how that Favreau eats wings?
Yeah.
Picture Binkley.
Okay. All right.
Why are you eating your wings and staring at me like that? Flip the tube.
Binkley.
Flip the tube.
Hate eating wings.
It's impossible.
Yeah, because wings are good.
Wings are damn good. They're, we don't need to pretend they're not this week. That's okay.
That intro that you created, Mac, is so good. I bet you they use it the rest of the day on all the other shows.
Do.
And they should.
Yeah, they
should. Gave them permission to do that, right?
Of course I did.
Yeah.
That's right.
Epic.
That's right. So before we get into the Richard of the Week, a buddy of mine sent me a text, and he works in media, not in state, but they did a bit, which is five reasons why we don't like you. And normally it's towards a team or a team's player that this team in this city is playing. So this is, since this team is no longer, there's only four teams left in the playoffs, now you got to figure out who to hate, who not to like. This time their person was Patrick Mahomes. Their top five reasons why they don't like Patrick Mahomes. Number one, he flops.
Okay.
Number two, he sounds like Kermit the Frog.
So we're 0-2.
Yep. Number three, his bad haircut and that now younger people are copying it.
0-3.
Wow.
Number four, he's just annoying in commercials.
Hang on a second here. Hang on. Or read the fifth one, then I'll get my commentary.
Number five, the way he walks and runs, quote, he has a zesty walk, end quote.
Was this posted at the John Knox Village by the old people? I mean, because that sounds like a bunch of old people sitting around coming up with reasons why they don't like the young generation.
All these young kids getting their hair cut like Mahomes pissed me off.
Back in my day, we just shaved our heads and joined the military.
He has a zesty walk. He does have a zesty walk, though. I will give him that. It is kind of, something's coming around the corner. All right, Rich of the Week.
Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
Not that guy.
From the 913, whoever wrote that is 75 years old.
Seriously, that was written by like old men sitting around having their coffee and hash browns at McDonald's.
And then from the 913, another number. They are 4-5. Okay. I'll go first because mine is not as good as your guys's. Mine is the obvious that we talked about earlier. I already told people what it was. It is the one person that did not vote for Ichiro to go into the Hall of Fame with 100%. The reason I say this is because if there's only one, that means that everybody had at some point, this isn't like, you know, jury duty where you can't talk about it in the hallways. You have to wait until, you know, deliberations and they've got the final 12. This was something that everybody agreed upon. They're like, hey, he's getting 100%. We're all voting yes. Okay. And then some Richard in the corner of the room was like, I'm not going to. I'm going to say no. Okay. So my thing for you is, if that is the case and you're the one person, I think that you need to come forward and say, here's why I didn't do it. This is my reason why I don't think anybody deserves 100%. Fair. The fact that that person can't come in and say, I didn't vote for him, they want to stay unanimous. Anonymous. Richard, like, what are you doing? Like, come out and say, I didn't vote because this reason. Don't be the guy that, like, yeah, we all agreed, we're all going to vote for Ichiro to go in the Hall of Fame, and then disappear. Give me a break. Richard of the Week, the one guy that didn't vote for Ichiro Suzuki to get the 100% into the Hall of Fame.
So, great, you know, the internet does a lot of sleuthing, right? And I think somebody has found out who this is that didn't vote for Ichiro. And all signs point back to somebody in Cleveland, because when Ichiro was up for Rookie of the Year, he was the unanimous selection minus one vote, which went to CC Sabathia. So a lot of people seemingly think and are drawing the line that it's this person in Cleveland. Whoever it is, man, you've already shown your ass. Identify yourself. Tell us who you are. Ichiro even said it at the Hall of Fame. I want to take this guy out for a beer and see what this person is, you know, all about and why they didn't want to vote for me.
Or come to Kansas City in August.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So I need to know who that guy is. If you are going to be that guy, out yourself, man. Like, don't hide behind that. Obviously, you have a reason. And if you don't out yourself, You're nothing but a loser coward. That's just the way it is. Own it.
Next on the list, okay, I guess it's me. I'll go. Bob, you can help me out, though, because we kind of had the same thought process here this week. Dan Hurley, my Richard of the week.
Yeah, Mac just stole mine. I told you on Wednesday I was going with Dan Hurley.
He wasn't in the room.
Yeah, and I sat there 5 minutes in our meeting and said I was going to do this guy, too. So, okay, so Dan Hurley, totally Richard of the week, looks at a ref as he walks away and says, well, don't turn your back on me. I'm the best effing coach in the sport. Already a Richard, right? Like, wow, your ego is through the roof. You've had a nice two-year run, and now you think you've hung the moon. But then he doubles down in his press conference.
I think TV got you saying something like, don't turn your back on me, I'm the best coach in...
Did I say that?
One of these guys.
The TV likes me, camera. I bet you I'm going to have the GAs. I'll release it to the media, too. What was the game on today? It was on FS1. I just wish they'd put the camera on the other coach more. You know, obviously, I had a moment with Coach Dad, Mata, today, because he was so far out of the box that I figure I would just go over and have a powwow with him and Pat. You know, but like, I just wish they would show these other coaches losing their minds at the officials in other Big East games that I'm coaching, where I look, going into a timeout when I'm not talking to officials, I see the other coaches as demonstrative as I am.
Yeah, so I'm a total a-hole, but don't look at me. You should look at the other a-holes, too. I'm not sorry for what I do. Just look at them.
The camera's on you because you always storm on the court. Yeah, like a total bitch.
You're screaming.
As a parent, I always say to my kid, I don't care what anybody else is doing. This is what I expect out of you.
Yes.
I wish they'd put the camera on other people as well.
Like, wow.
And I hate
back-to-back national champion winning coach. Of course the camera's going to be on you.
I hate when the media asks the question and the people out there try to upstage the media, too, and make you feel like a slime ball for asking it. What did I do?
You know exactly what you did. That's narcissistic attitude.
Seriously,
oh,
man.
God, yes.
Not me. It's them. They put the camera on. Yeah. It sounded like Bryson DeChambeau, who's kind of like revamped his likable credibility on the tour. Not judging personality wise, but like he became more likable because when he first was starting to win and be that explosive powerball driver, he got mad that the camera was on him whenever he hit a bad shot. He came out and was like, well, I wish they'd focus on the good shots too. It's like, they do, bro.
Yeah, that's a good way to phrase that. Is narcissism at its finest
100%.
Right there. Yeah.
Why would they put the camera somewhere else? Like,
what?
Well, don't act like an ass. And
you
they won't
know
put the
why
camera
I hit
you,
right? You know why I hit you? Because you used the wrong tone. It's not me.
Right.
But if you didn't use that tone, then
that's
I would,
right.
You know, get.
Yeah, get out of here.
He sucks.
Yeah, he really
does.
I do not like that guy at all. He's a douche. And finally, my Richard of the Week goes to Stink Stank Stunk for just not having a clue. Just not having a clue on what year it is, what this Chiefs team is about.
I think it's their best chance simply because the Chiefs offense is not what it has been over the course of this time that we have watched these two teams battle.
Who do you play for?
Denver.
Who's in that division?
Chiefs.
Oh, who's the most dominant team in football right now?
Chiefs.
Okay.
But I mean, at least come up with a take from 2025, bro. Like, seriously. Don't give me some take from 2018.
Even if you were to be like, I'm nervous about their offense because only one wide receiver caught a pass last week in a divisional round game in the playoffs.
Okay.
You did a page of research.
Current. Yeah. That's a current, right. Yeah. Current thing.
Stinks.
I mean, it's just like, seriously, dude, pick up a remote, watch a current game.
Yeah, they play in the summer and spring, too, here in Kansas City. They have really good jerseys as well. Championship game coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Don't forget, Cody and Gold will be in the OP Rally House. Two opportunities to win a $100 gift card at Rally House. One of them, you're going to need to know Taylor Swift lyrics. But you'll hear Mac's voice, and then we'll get to John Grayson, Mr. Buffalo, New York, as our roundtable guest. He promised he'd come back if this game happened in the playoffs, and by God, it did. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Is this that one guy I send you videos of on Instagram, Mac, that wears a cowboy hat and you don't know if he knows the words or not?
You talk about the naked cowboy in Times Square?
Well, it is kind of a cowboy. We have a Bills guy here today. John Grayson of 98.1 joins us here at the roundtable. It's brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Speaking of dreams, you feel really good about this one.
I do. I mean, you kind of have
Why?
to.
Why?
Because you are a Bills fan, and I've already had Bills fans congratulate me on the win. They go, we've came this far. We're not going any further. Which so, is, like, you're a positive Bills fan.
Yeah, right. Well, somebody's got to be, I guess. And, I mean, I've been there. I was there at two of the Super Bowls that we lost back in the 90s. And, you know, so I've seen it all, and I've seen all the times that we've lost to the Chiefs in the playoffs. But, you know, I look back at earlier this season and just look at which team I think is playing better ball right now. And I think Buffalo's playing better ball right now.
Yeah, Buffalo is playing good football. There's no question about it. Both quarterbacks are playing good football right now. To me, it comes down to them. It's Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. It's nobody else on the field. And as a Bills fan, that's the thing that I would be concerned about, because I have a feeling that if one guy tries to take over and be Superman, it's going to be Josh Allen. And when that happens, you get to be like Lamar.
Yeah, well, and you know, I was talking this over with a good friend of mine, and he said, you know, Josh Allen, like most of our cats, every so often the dude just gets the zoomies. And it's like, I don't know why, I don't know how to explain it, but he just starts going off and losing it. And if that happens in this game, yeah, that's going to be good. But what amazes me, I mean, you look down the rosters and you can, like, almost one-to-one point to guys and go, okay, this guy is the analog of that guy. I mean, both teams have questions about the defensive backfield. Both teams have extremely strong defensive lines, and guys on those lines with Karlaftis and Jones on the Chiefs and AJ Epenesa, and I mean, it's crazy how well matched they are.
That really is. I mean, they are truly the first and second best teams in the NFL, in my opinion. Coach, quarterback, everything all the way down. And yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I'm trying to think of, like, who has an advantage here. And I don't know that there's one thing that really stands out where you say, oh, it's a huge advantage here, other than the injuries on defense for Buffalo and Rapp not playing and a rookie playing safety. That could be what the key is.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a big drop off. And it's funny, because I was talking with Cody and Gold about this the other day. That
Bragger.
I know. I mean, I know people. You know, it's a thing. But yeah, we were talking the other day about that. And Taylor Rapp is not a top level safety, but he's good enough. And what's behind him? Not a whole lot. So it's going to really be up to that defensive line to cause problems early on for Patrick Mahomes. If they don't, he's going to tear him apart.
Yeah, last week, I guess Houston called, you know, bluff on Travis Kelce being still electric in the playoffs, 7-for-117 and a touchdown.
That's a mistake.
Right. Milano going to play, but a little soreness. I would assume that we had Sal Capaccio on earlier this week.
Yeah.
The sideline guy, as you're more well aware of, but he said that, you know, they're going to, you know, they're going to be on him. They're going to try to, you know, shut that down. You got to think a little banged up, you know, is Kelce your guys, you think, your main focus here? Like, anybody can beat us, not 87.
Especially with Hardman still out. Yeah, absolutely. And so I think there's going to be a lot of focus on him. Milano's play is going to play a big part in that. And really, like I said, it's going to be all about who gets more disruptive on the defensive line.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I look at this game, and you've mentioned it. I'm interested to know why this year you have more confidence, because this is probably the least talented your team has been. That's not a shot at Buffalo.
Oh, no.
But, like, this is the least talented Buffalo's team has been. They Mitch Holtis joins there. They cut salary. They got rid of Gabe Davis. They got rid of Stephon Diggs. Here's Josh Allen. It's your team. Best season he's ever had. He's probably going to win the MVP.
And Keon Coleman has been playing better ball throughout. Mm. I mean, still a rookie. So, I mean, there's going to be that. And, you know, you bring in a free agent wide receiver who doesn't do very much. But what he is doing is he's taking attention. He's taking attention away from Khalil Shakir. Do not sleep on Khalil Shakir. The guy has great hands. He's a little guy that nobody ever talks about. And yet, I mean, the plays that he makes over the middle have been really stellar. And that's a big reason why. When Josh needs somebody, when he needs somebody, in the same way that when Patrick needs somebody, he's got Travis Kelce. When Josh needs somebody to get open, Khalil Shakir is out there.
And that's always good to have that guy. Right now, if the running game for Buffalo is going early, it could be problems for the Chiefs, too. Yep. I mean, you guys start running that football down their throats a little bit, that opens everything up. And Josh Allen goes, all right, man, I like what I got going on here.
That's another one of the big mantras up in Buffalo is let James cook.
Yep.
I mean, just let that dude do it. And, I mean, again, a couple of decent running backs behind him. So, you know, even when he's out on third down or just taking a rest or whatever, they've still got a, you know, the possibility of putting a running game together. But as the Chiefs have shown, they have the ability to shut that down. So do the Bills. I mean, with Travis Henry last week, he did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that. I think a lot of the story of this game is going to be told early on.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're going to kind of know, I think around halftime, how everybody's kind of feeling in this one. I just get that sense, and I sense, you know, the Chiefs are going to probably pull away in this one, but that's just me with my, you know, my red glasses on. But I think kind of by halftime, we'll have an idea of where this game is going and where this game is trending just by what went on in the first half.
Yeah, without doubt. And did I say Travis Henry before?
Yeah, Derrick Henry. Yeah, that's fine. Look, man.
It just clicked in my mind. I can't think about anybody but Bills. But yeah, I think you're right about that. And I think that by halftime, we're not going to see, I don't think, from either team, a giant comeback in the second half. If somebody's down by 14 at the half, that's going to be a high mountain to try to overcome.
It is. All right, John Grayson. I told you before the segment started, I said I got a call last night from a film crew out of Buffalo, New York, that's coming to my house tomorrow to talk to me about the Bills. And it's some Andre Reed production that he's putting together. Just One Before We Die is what they're calling
that's
this
it.
Film, right? Just One Before We Die. Why they want me in this thing, I don't know, but that's fine.
Because you're awesome.
I guess. And they want the perspective of, I guess, maybe somebody who wanted one before we died here in Kansas City, and now we've had our day in the sun. But you guys haven't won a road playoff game in 32 years.
Yeah.
Winning this game over the Chiefs and going to Super Bowl, what would that mean for Bills fans?
I honestly, I know you want a bigger answer than this, I think, honestly, it would be one more step along the way. Nothing means anything but a Super Bowl championship. Winning the AFC championship would be great. We did that four times, mm-hmm. and it got us nowhere. So I think it would be big because the Chiefs have been the obstacle for Buffalo for forever now, I mean, it seems like. So yeah, it would be a great win, but I think the fans, in the same way that the Chiefs fans are now focused on the three-peat, which is as it should be, mm-hmm. Bills fans are focused on let's get to the Super Bowl to win it.
Okay, so even if they win this game, Buffalo fans are still going to have it's not the Super Bowl yet,
yes.
and won't be happy and won't be satisfied until the Super Bowl win.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And even that, I mean, those two teams on the NFC side are no slouches.
No doubt.
Yeah, I think that's a great attitude to have because, I mean, that means they're not just focused solely on this game. They're focused on what the big picture is, which is great to have. I mean, the Chiefs do that every single year. I do want to bring this up because there's a lot of people that think that the hatred for the Chiefs is fatigue. Now, obviously, you do radio in this town from 10 to 2 Monday through Friday, so you hear it. You have stories that involve the Chiefs or something about that as well. Do you feel that as a Bills fan? Like, are you effing tired of it? It's okay to be honest.
Honestly, no, because I like the rivalry. I mean, I love watching these two teams play each other, and it's a little frustrating to me that regular season, we own it, postseason, the Chiefs own it, and that gets a little bit old, but I think because of this game, I mean, that gives each team a chance to break history, and I love that. So,
yeah.
And how can you not be excited about seeing Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes on the same field,
right?
It's just so.
I just got a shot of adrenaline when you said that. Like, let's go.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. It was kind of the same way last week. You know, it's like, how can you not be excited about seeing Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson? So I think these are great matchups. It's going to be a game that's going to be fun to watch because it always is. I mean, that craziness that went on in the 13 seconds game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the last 3 minutes of that game were just incredible.
Yep.
That doesn't happen in the NFL, and yet they made it happen.
They did.
I bring that up because I think my dad will forever hate Buffalo because of the 93-94 AFC Championship game.
Oh, because
where
of Joe Montana.
They rode so high beating Houston.
Yeah.
Maybe Warren Moon and the Oilers, who were, you know, the team outside of Buffalo. You had to get past that game. They went then again on the road into Buffalo, and Montana's laying there motionless, and essentially right there, the game's over.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad can still hate speech. Very nice religious guy to this day, but hates Andre Reed, hates Thurman Thomas, hates Bruce Smith, hates Jim Kelly, because it was always Buffalo back then in the AFC. Like you said, 4 years in a row, they were the team in the AFC. You flipped everything around, and I think when, you know, people who were my age then that are that my age now that, you know, are in Buffalo, they're going to grow up being like, God, I hate Chris Jones. I hate Travis Kelce to this day, even though those guys are 50, 60 years old now.
Yeah, and I think that if the Bills do lose this game on Sunday, I think there's the possibility of hearing a lot more of that because it's just going to be, why can't we get past this one team?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that absolutely will exist.
Which brings me to kind of my next thought for you. Are you confident in your head coach in this game?
Yes. I think
that was an emphatic yes.
And I'll tell you why. I think that the game earlier this year against the Chiefs solidified that he gets it now. For a while, I think you can look at a lot of the playoff losses to the Chiefs that Buffalo has taken and lay them directly at the feet of Sean McDermott. I think he made a lot of mistakes and tried to play the safe bet late in the game. And Patrick Mahomes kills you when you do that. Mm-hmm. And I think he got that. That's why he called the fourth and two play, which, by the way, I mean, take a look at the replay on that. And that goes back to the guys on the defensive line that I was talking about. How close was George Karlaftis's finger to Josh Allen's jersey and being able to pull him down from behind when he ran for that touchdown? It was a couple of inches away. Mm-hmm. That's the difference in this game. And that's why these things are so incredible to watch.
So you don't feel like if they lose this game again, that McDermott's now on the hot seat or should be on the hot seat, or,
I mean, he might be. If you win or you go home. I mean,
yeah.
That's going to be up to the owners. That's up to the Pegula family, obviously. But I would not be out there calling for his ouster if they don't win this game, unless he makes some kind of egregious error with clock management or some other. And we've seen that before.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I like the coaching matchup, obviously, is Andy Reid versus the world, right?
Yeah.
Sean McDermott has become one of the better coaches in this league, but is he Marty Schottenheimer, or is he going to be a guy like Andy Reid who finally does get over that hump?
Yeah, and we'll find out on Sunday night, I guess.
I'll take it one step further, because I think you guys have something that Detroit has something this year, or had something. I think you will have the number one head coach request next year with Joe Brady.
Yeah.
You trust Joe Brady against Steve Spagnuolo the second time around in the playoffs?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's a tough matchup. I think defensive
$100 I can borrow. You're saying yes very quickly.
Yeah, very so fast.
To get in there.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I think defensive coordinator is going to be a real question mark too, because mm-hmm. Buffalo changed up a lot of things against Baltimore.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
And I think that if they keep that aggressive behavior up, especially early on, that's going to give them a chance to get into Patrick's head a little bit. So that's a big ask, but that also leaves you vulnerable to getting burned. So we'll see. But I think the defensive side of the ball is going to be really
interesting. I do want to pause you real quick. There's breaking news in the NFL. The Las Vegas Raiders and Pete Carroll have come to an agreement on a 3-year contract.
Oh, it's officially official.
He is now the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders.
How about that?
How about that?
I love that hire. I'm a big Pete Carroll fan, but now look at this division. Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Pete Carroll.
There's a little bit of talent.
So there's three Super Bowl winners there. That's pretty crazy. Back to Buffalo. So last year you had you had the Chiefs in your backyard.
Yeah.
Were you as confident as you are this year as you were last year having the home game, or are you least confident last year?
No, because I think the Chiefs had a better year last year. And again, just leading up to, I was very worried and thought, okay, yeah, it was nice to have the game at home, but again, conditions are so similar. The only thing that's different is grass versus turf.
Mm-hmm.
The temperature's the same. You know, the atmosphere in the stadium is the same. And I think, I mean, we'll see again. Bills Mafia travels very well. So I'm interested to see how much red, white, and blue there is in the stadium.
We heard 7% tickets. So that's about 5,280 seats.
That can make a lot of noise.
Yeah. I mean, that 7% of that stadium will be Buffalo fans. And the thing that I like about it, though, is that there won't be fights.
Yeah.
Like, the Cincinnati fans can go, you know, where. But like Buffalo.
Like me in Miami.
Yeah, but like Buffalo and Kansas City fans, like, it's a genuine likeness for each other, right? I get that feeling anyway, you know?
The last time that the Bills won at Arrowhead, I was there. and walked out of the stadium after that. That was the Dawson Knox game where he got the touchdown at the end of the game. And I walked out of the game and, you know, the Bills fans were all high-fiving each other in the parking lot, but there's no hard feelings and there's no fights. There's nobody screaming at each other. You're right. It's one of the more, I think, I won't say friendlier because, like you said, there's a lot of hate that goes both ways, but I will say it's one of the more respectful rivalries in the NFL.
It is. Like, you're not like looking for likes to fight Sky at the Bills, you know, Chiefs game. Bengals is a different story, and Raiders, obviously, a different story. And New England and, you know, those fans up there. Like, this is just one because I think we identify well with each other. We've talked about it. Very similar cities, very similar backgrounds, same type of people, working class, working collar or blue collar. Yeah, like everybody in these two cities is very much the same. And we know what you guys have been through with the struggles with your football team. You know?
As we do. I mean, we remember the 70s and 80s, too. So it was a rough time for both of us.
So if both quarterbacks have to play perfect, do you trust Josh Allen to play more perfect, or do you trust Patrick Mahomes to play perfect?
I think Patrick is more inventive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Josh, I mean, when was the last time Josh Allen turned the ball over? 6 weeks ago?
I think when Carter was president,
It's been a while. He has
Carter was alive
in the same way that Sean McDermott's learned a lot of lessons. I think Josh Allen has become a much more mature quarterback. So I think he definitely has the ability to control himself more than he did in years past. So I would depend on him to have a perfect or near perfect game.
Outside of Travis Kelce, who do you fear that could have a big game? Because
Chris
Jones. Okay, yeah. Just disrupts everything?
Yeah. Yeah. And Baltimore did a good job last week of keeping Josh Allen in the pocket. He didn't run anywhere near as much as he has in weeks past. If the Chiefs can figure out how to do that, it also changes the complexion of the game in your favor.
Is there somebody on Buffalo that we're not thinking about that you're like, okay, this guy can be a difference maker?
Shakir?
Yeah. I'll stick with Shakir. I think he really can. And every so often, I mean, Keon Coleman will make some incredible catches, but my eyes early on are going to be on James Cook.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, I think everybody is. I think that's going to be kind of the holding of the breath inside of Arrowhead Stadium. That first play, James Cook, do we stop him? Yeah. And if we do, the crowd's going to go, okay. You know, have that kind of that sigh of relief. And you know, you can feel the tension, you know, on certain plays inside the stadium from the crowd. Stack up against the run, maybe a quick three and out or something like that at the beginning of the game. Fans are going to feel okay about what this team is doing.
Yeah, and it's going to be loud.
Yeah.
And we know it and we're ready for it. So. There's already talk, by the way, of starting the fourth quarter off with all the fans
singing
Mr. Brightside. Yeah. So just be ready for that one as well.
Mm-hmm. Can you play that on the axe? I know you're an axe man.
You know, I haven't tried yet. You've given me some homework for the weekend.
You can sit there, halftime, you're going on that guitar. So how will you enjoy this game? You're going to go to your normal place and watch it, or is this going to be something different?
No, I think my wife and I are making some plans to just have a nice, quiet evening at home on the couch. And
nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Pour some vino, sit back. Get numb, enjoy the game.
We found out our pizza place down the street here is closed on Sunday, so we got to order it on Saturday and kind of put it away for a little while. So,
The thing, though, about those games is sometimes you just want to watch the game alone.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes the games are so big where you're like, I'm good on the couch. I don't need to be out. I don't need to be at the game. I want to watch this one. From my perspective, from where I sit, I'm going to witness the most important, possibly greatest game in Arrowhead Stadium history with what's at stake for the Kansas City Chiefs. And quite honestly, John, to kind of put a bow on this, there's so much more at stake for the Chiefs than there is for the Buffalo Bills in this game, because the odds of this and being in position for any team to be in a three-peat again,
the last time
we saw it was the 90s. You know, so, I mean, this is an opportunity for somebody to do something that's never been done before in their home stadium, and to be able to witness that and say you were there for the greatest game ever at Arrowhead Stadium, or the most important game ever at Arrowhead Stadium. From a Chiefs fan's perspective, I think you want to be in that building, you know?
Yeah, and can we all just agree that we're very happy that Tom Brady never got it done?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tom Brady never got it done. Joe Montana never got it done. Terry Bradshaw never got it done. Like, nobody ever got it done. Will Bills fans, like, be happy for the Chiefs, or will we'll root for the NFC and the...
Well, I can only speak for myself personally, but I said this same thing on the air last year when Buffalo lost to Kansas City in the playoffs, is go win this thing. I mean, if you're going to beat us again, then go win.
So that's where you are. If you beat us, we want you to win the whole damn thing.
If you're going to lose to the guys who were the champions. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I would still think that anybody who wins this game is winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think Buffalo beats Philadelphia or Washington. I think Kansas City is the same thing.
Yep.
You want to give us a score prediction?
I'll say the same thing I said. I was on Buffalo radio yesterday, so I'll say the same thing I did there. 27-21.
Smart man. Doesn't score 30 points, but he gives him the wins.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. I can't wait to see you Monday, John.
You got it. Same here.
Hey, have a good rest of your day, man.
Have a good show. What's coming up on your show today?
Oh, boy. We've got all kinds of things. There's craziness. More Florida stories. More. It's Friday.
No, we're going to have time. Don't say.
I know, right? I can't even tell
man
you.
Man has sex with alligator and gets bit.
In the snow. Yeah. In Florida.
That's okay. This was not a Florida story, but there was another one we've got this morning where a fight broke out somewhere up in the Northeast, and a guy ended up outside a bar with his manhood frozen to the sidewalk. So, yeah, I got that one for you, too. Hey.
You just put, like, hot water on that to unstick it?
How do you get that frozen to concrete?
I am fascinated to find out.
I bet he was using it in some way.
Yeah, but the, yeah.
Okay.
It seems. Maybe that was used as a taunt or something, oh. And he ended up on his face.
I mean, we all know about the pole, you know, and sticking your tongue to a pole.
Sure.
I've never heard your manhood on concrete getting stuck. Watch out in the parking lot on Saturday,
that's
folks.
Right.
Yeah. Or Sunday.
And keep your pants on.
Normally you're sticking to the pole, not the pole sticking, is the way that goes. Well, John Grayson, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks
you
for joining our roundtable.
Thank you.
Roundtable, you're welcome. Brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. And championship game coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, we'll wrap this thing up, get to our tailgate talk, and get the crew of 10 to 2 live from Rally House in Overland Park here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5.
All right, we made it, boys. 9:45 on a Friday, Red Friday, Chiefs Buffalo, Sunday at 5:30. Don't forget, Chris and Acero, 9 to 11, Mac and Drew, 11 to 2.
Woo!
And then you get Chiefs coverage the rest of the day. Here on 96.5 The Fan. Josh, Dan, Mitch, Danon. All the action right here on 96.5 The Fan. Then you'll have post-game coverage as well here on 96.5 The Fan. So we got you covered.
Take like a melatonin before the show just to be a normal amount of energy.
Melatonin before the show?
Yeah, before the show.
Well, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Just might sound like that I'm gonna be jumping off the walls.
What other reason to win this thing and knock this thing out of the park? The AFC West just got tougher with Pete Carroll now being in there. I mean, find me a division that has four better coaches than what the AFC West has right now.
I agree with that, yeah.
I mean, three Super Bowl winning head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has won either a college championship or a Super Bowl championship that's coaching in the AFC West right now. All these teams are responding to us. All right, we got to go out and spend a ton of money on coaches, spend a ton of money on quarterbacks. The only way we're going to... Oh, we didn't beat the Chiefs yet again. Like, I like the hire by the Raiders. I don't like that he's playing against us twice a year, but that's a nice hire by the Raiders.
I'm not worried about it. You got to have a quarterback first.
Well, I don't know who their quarterback's going to be. That'll be the next big question, right? There was talk. Somebody did a mock draft that says they're going up to number one and take Shador Sanders at number one.
Could see that.
Because it really isn't... There's not a generational player in this draft, I don't think, you know?
Travis Hunter could be.
Could be, but, like,
yeah,
I don't know that he...
use the G word too much, probably.
We do, yeah. They talk about, you know, Tennessee's whoever it was before Borgonzi got there, the guy that hired Borgonzi, I guess, said, you know, if there's a generational talent, we're definitely going to take him, which is translation for there's not a generational talent, make your best offer, and we'll be willing to give up the number one pick. So, I mean, can you not see this now all starting to take kind of effect where the Raiders trade up to number one, they get Shador Sanders, whoever's picking number two takes the kid from Miami, and then, like, the Giants at three are screwed. Take Jordan Milroe or something.
Schefter is really horny with this news. The four AFC West head coaches, Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, and Pete Carroll, now have a combined 20 conference championship appearances and 8 Super Bowl appearances. Again, how many of those are Andy's? Like 11 conference championship appearances are Andy's?
12.
Right? 12.
12 and 26 years of coaching is Andy Reid.
So he has 12 of those 20. And out of those 8 Super Bowls, he has 3.
Are you talking victories or appearances?
I guess, yeah, Super Bowl and 8 Super Bowl appearances.
Well, Andy has 5
Super Bowl appearances.
4 with us and 1 with Philly. So that's 5 of the 8.
Yeah, so basically he's going up against Andy Reid. Now, I think Pete Carroll, I don't think it works out. And you can book this mark if you want, or bookmark this, or however you want to say it. They're not winning more than 7 games. Who's their number one wide receiver? Who's their running back? Who's their quarterback? You mean to tell me Max Crosby's going to do it for you? No, he's not.
I think they should trade Max Crosby and get draft picks. And I'm not just saying that to get him out of the Raiders, but I mean, that's what you do when you kind of take over a new franchise. You got one really good player, trade that person, maximize your assets.
Pete Carroll's been out of the NFL. Yeah. Pete Carroll's been, like that, what's he been out of the league for? 2 years?
One year?
Yeah,
just one.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. A lot of people on the text line say, watch him go get Russell Wilson.
Great. Oh, my God. I'm sitting back for that one. Give me the popcorn if that were to happen. That would be unbelievable.
Pete Carroll will be 74 when the season starts.
But he looks like he's about 52.
He does. He looks great.
He's great. He's in great shape.
I think it's a good culture reset for them. I don't think he's going to bring them to the promised land, but he could reignite that culture maybe
a little bit.
He's
a Band-Aid, isn't he?
Yes, he's a Band-Aid. He's bridge the gap kind of coach. Yes.
Yeah, he's going to be there 2 years or 3 years, whatever his contract is, try to get them at least back
500-ish in 3 years maybe.
And then he's got that spy tech guy as his GM.
Oh, yeah.
So now Brady has two cheaters, so he's just fitting the narrative.
So who is Brady then going to bring in as the quarterback now?
Is Darnold an option? Do they not go through the draft?
Is what they have Aiden O'Connell as their
that's what
guy?
I'm saying, dude. Yeah.
Anybody's an option.
Yes.
Literally anybody is an option other than Aiden O'Connell.
Bailey Zappi?
Might as well. I mean,
tell you about Pete Carroll. You don't get to chew gum at a rapid rate, Mac.
Do you know Pete Carroll sent Binkley donuts one time?
Wow.
Was it donuts or something?
I thought it was barbecue sauce.
No, I thought Binkley sent him barbecue sauce. And then Pete Carroll sent Binkley donuts, I think.
So long story short, Mac, Binkley used to do a podcast called Three Guys in a Garage, hence his Twitter handle.
Okay, that makes more sense now.
Him and two other guys, allegedly. But nobody's ever met these two other guys. Like this friend of his, Tank.
One guy's name is Tank, and I think the other guy's name is Fart. I'm not trying to be super funny there. But they would do, you know, they do interviews and stuff, and they got a hold of Pete Carroll somehow. And next thing you know, he sent them stuff. They sent him stuff, and Pete Carroll was a fan of Three Guys in a Garage.
That's awesome. There we go. It's probably Bink's favorite day ever.
Bink's, it's National Beer Can Day, and Pete Carroll got hired. I mean, what more could be going to be happening in Binkley's life at this point in time?
DK Metcalf is going to go to this Vegas Raiders.
Is that what he's saying?
No, that's just what I'm trying to think of all the, because like, you know, everyone, you know, see a hire, somebody in the Texans like Beast Mode is going to come out of retirement.
I was going to say Marshawn Lynch is going to the right. That would
Tyler
be wild.
Tyler Lockett will be their number one acquisition in the offseason. Seattle get rid of him, and then Pete Carroll will be like, yeah, come to Vegas.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad, honestly.
It's going to be Seattle and Las Vegas.
I think he's the best hire that has been made, though, so far. He's got a Super Bowl pedigree, and he'll probably get respect, kind of like Andy Reid walking into a situation that he did here. You immediately have respect for the coach, because even these players look at him, that dude won a Super Bowl. I know who Pete Carroll is. He's won a lot in this league, and so I think it's a really good hire by the Raiders to kind of settle things down a little bit.
You don't think it's a really good hire. You think it's the best
hire. That's what I just said, yeah. I think it's the best hire that's been made so far.
Better than Mike Vrabel.
Doesn't matter what you say.
Yeah, okay. Vrabel hasn't won a Super Bowl.
As a coach.
Right, which is what his job is right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's not won a Super Bowl as a coach. Are you a Vrabel guy? You were down there for a couple of years.
Yeah, big Vrabel guy.
Yeah. I like the hire for New England, but I think Pete Carroll's better. He's won to two Super Bowls, won one. He's won just basically every year he's been in the NFL. So.
Yeah, he also cost his entire franchise a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Doesn't mean he can't reset the situation. And he
had a generational defense.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Right. So he's a good coach. He's the best hire. You got a bunch of guys who've never done it before. And Mike Vrabel, who's the second best hire.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you look at how you describe Pete Carroll when it comes to the change in the building, the cultural change, I think there's all that as well with Mike Vrabel.
When was the last time Oakland had an adult as a head coach?
Wasn't Gruden.
No, it wasn't McDaniel.
Wasn't
Jack Del Rio.
No, I bet it was that. What was that guy's name? There was the interim coach they let go. They shouldn't have.
Rich Bisaccia.
That's probably the last time.
Probably it.
That's
Boss Rich.
Yeah, that was the last time they had an adult.
I liked him.
That was their last adult. Because even he went up to the other non-adult in Los Angeles at the time, Staley, and was like, hey, you do realize that if we tie this game out, we both go.
Mm-hmm.
And then that Jay was like, time out. We want the ball to go score. And he was like, dude, what are you doing? I am going to have to beat you.
Right.
Yeah. And he did.
And he did.
Again, trying to be the adult.
Right.
And then they let him go, and their franchise has sucked ever since.
But I mean, like, seriously, you go back and think, like, I mean, Bill Callahan let him do a Super Bowl, but I don't know that that's an adult in the room.
Damn, that's a while ago.
It's 24 years ago that was. I mean, so, like, is that the last adult in the room? Who was the coach before him? You had North Turner was their coach there. Like, like, I mean, are we dialing this thing all the way back to John Madden to find the last time that they had like a legit adult? Tom Flores was obviously, you know, one of the great Raider
Art
coaches.
Chill.
Was he in a, like, I mean, good
I
coach?
So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess. But I mean,
I would treat him as an adult.
Look how far back we're going.
Oh,
though.
Yeah. We're in the 90s now.
Well past. I mean, the 80s and 90s are the last time they had a true adult, like real legitimate voice as their head coach. And Pete Carroll brings them that. That's a calming effect to hit the reset button that, you know, as a player and everybody else in the organization, that dude's got credibility. And I'm going to follow that guy. He's got a track record. It's a nice hire for the
Can
Raiders.
Can we start a petition that Adam Schefter needs the editing button on Twitter? Geez.
Doesn't he have that?
No. It's so annoying.
Why would
he never proofreads? He sends out the tweet as fast as he can, and then he sends out the same tweet because he put a word and then it's spelled wrong. Let him have the edit button. It's so annoying. Or read it first,
no,
little
he can't
man.
Read it yet. He can't read it.
No, he's got to hit send
Golly.
So he can be the first one out there.
Well, I know it's Friday and I'm in a good mood, but it's like so. It's literally one every three tweets Schefter sends out. Just don't do what I do and hit the reminder because my job. But like, if you do, watch how many times Schefter will tweet and then retweet the same thing because he misspelled and. He spelled it like ARD because he's going so fast and he didn't send. Give the damn guy an edit button. I don't need. Oh, golly.
Well, he could be getting busy, man. He could be having some hanky panky.
That's
man.
Right. Where were you when Pete Carroll got hired? I was with my wife.
So wait, what does this mean? The first thing that I thought of with Pete Carroll, obviously Raiders, great division head coach, all those things that we talked about. But what's going to happen in Dallas?
They well, apparently just started... Brian Schottenheimer's the guy.
Yeah, do you hear who his defensive coordinator is going to be?
Jeez, no,
Rex Ryan.
Which I love.
No, I'm dead ass serious.
Dude.
They were like, if Schottenheimer does become the coach,
this is awesome.
Expect Rex Ryan to be his defensive coordinator.
Yes, which I love. It's great.
I
Grab your
this.
Popcorn.
Yeah,
but also, dude, like Rex isn't going to be scheming behind that guy's back to get him fired from day one to get that head coaching job.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're hiring Judas.
Hey, Jerry likes feet, too. I don't know why he turned into Gary Busey, but he looks like that with his teeth.
Yeah, he does kind of.
I like honey and pancakes and toes.
That's the last coach that I would hire on my staff because that guy wants every head coaching job that's out there. And the minute something goes wrong, you don't think that guy's going to run to Jerry Jones and be like, hey, Brian Schottenheimer's not doing the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, Chiefs Kingdom is always, they're always passionate, they're always loud. I would just say, let's even take it up a notch. Let's see how loud this place can really get. But I always appreciate the support and the love that they show for us. And so I'm just excited for another AFC Championship game back at Arrowhead.
Enjoy the game of the year. Enjoy the game for the last 2 years because last year's 2024, this 2025. Go do something nice for somebody today, tomorrow, or this week. And it could change their day, week, month, or even their new year. Kansas City, it's simply cool to care. Stay safe. Stay kind. Coming up next from Overland Park, it's Cody Golden Drew live at Rally House from 10 to 2.